If you'll turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 28. This morning we're going to talk about discipleship. And in Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, it says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age." When we look at the Great Commission, this directive is for all Christians. I think sometimes in discipleship we think, well, I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to be, you know, in church leadership. I'm not interested in that. That's not what this is saying. This is saying that if you are a Christian, then it would stand to reason you would want to know more about, actually get to know the one you are following. And that's what discipleship is all about. So you have a general command here. In Ephesians 5:8, and you don't need to go there, it says, "You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord." Okay? So again, this is something that is a call to all believers. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, for those who are called into leadership, who have the compelling to desire to be in leadership, it says, "That which you've been taught," Paul talking with Timothy, "entrust this to these to faithful men who will be able to teach others." So you have the general call, and you have the one call for leadership and the desire to pass on and teach. So today, we're going to have an opportunity to talk with Jeremiah Elliott. If you'd come up, please. And I'll let you stand over here. But Jeremiah has just finished the discipleship with Pastor Josh, correct?
Yes, sir.
When did you start in discipleship?
I want to say when I was 17.
Okay.
I would say that was the point where a few things had happened at that point in time, and the Lord was like, "Okay, you really need to make a decision here." You and I were talking about it the other day, and this is a subject for too long, but one of the things was happening was quite a few of the people that I grew up here in the church with were making their decisions. And that kind of led me to talking to the Lord and going, "Okay, well, what's my decision going to be? Am I going to follow you, or am I going to, you know, choose the way of the world?" And very quickly and gracefully, the Lord was saying, "You want to see how everything else is going with everybody else? And well, if you follow me," you know, very Jeremiah moment, actually. Funny enough, but it's definitely obviously all him. And, you know, I'm very blessed to grow up in the family and the church that I've been in. And I can safely say if the Lord had not kept me from that early age, I would definitely not have ever stepped foot in church. But anyway, 17.
So you've been going through discipleship for about 10 years.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So what's important, and the reason I ask you that is because I have a similar pathway as far as the amount of time it took me. Discipleship is a lifetime thing. Just because we've now finished a discipleship with an individual,
oh, yeah,
discipleship is still lifetime. And discipleship isn't about, okay, I don't feel led to be, now you may feel led to be in leadership of some kind, involved in the church body is at that level of some sort, but you may not be. But if you don't feel led, it doesn't preclude you from being involved in the discipleship, because you're still, if you're desiring to follow your Lord, who you've professed to be your Lord and Savior, Well, the best way to get to know him is to know his word and to have somebody be able to walk you through who's walked the walk already. None of us disciples are perfect. I mean, we make mistakes every day, but we learn from our mistakes, and sometimes you can learn from those mistakes also. So there's a tremendous benefit there. You said that when you decided to get involved in discipleship that you were aware of some of your peers who were making decisions. What was it? You know, Jesus asks his disciples, many of them as he's coming upon them, what do you seek? What are you wanting? So what were you seeking other than recognizing it was time for a decision? What do you feel like you were seeking?
Well, it was either seeking the things and the pleasures that the world have to offer. Of course, being a teenager, you know, you're always wanting to, you know, look for what was about your career. And not to say careers are bad, but, you know, or seeking the pleasures of the world, or all the things the world has to offer. And I think growing up in church, one of the things that was, you know, the alluring thought to me was, okay, I never got to experience any of these things of the world. Am I missing out on something? Is there, you know, something else that could be better out there? And of course, you know, obviously the answer is no. And so the Lord had revealed that to me. And, you know, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask and he will give generously. So, you know, it was just the Lord showing me just in different areas, you know, I love you and I care for you. And look where I placed you. Look what I've given you. And if I spared not my only son, would I not freely give you all things? So, you know, the love that God has for us, and simply, I mean, even from the garden, you know, they walked with God, they were with him, and that simple single decision to want more than him was what ruined everything. And so, literally everything. And so just that thought of a creator who not only made me, but wants to be intimately acquainted with all my ways, who loved me before I was even a thought, why would I not want to learn about him and give my life to him?
Well, so. And that's a great point. So how would you say that going through the discipleship has improved the relationship that you have with him?
Well, going through scripture and just seeing in different books, you know, and especially with teaching the class, I think more it's been a real eye-opener for me on just in every aspect of scripture, his love. I mean, you go through scripture and you think in certain areas, or my thought was in certain areas, wow, you know, he's being really mean. You know, I wouldn't see it that way, but the way you perceive, you know, or the way you see God, and it's very important, and I'm glad you brought up Matthew, where he turns to his disciples and he goes, who do people say that I am? And they say, well, some say Jeremiah, some say, you know, the prophets. And then he turns to you and say, but who do you say that I am? And it's really that, you know, going through scripture, it's learning about who he is and seeing him for who he really is. And of course, my favorite verse, Hebrews 13:8, and the Lord obviously knows me through this, is, you know, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He's always the same. He's always loved you. He always has. And though we're faithless, he is faithful. And so I think just through going and learning the different books and going through discipleship has just shown me how faithful he really is. And, you know, he's shown that time and time again, especially with the children of Israel and how stubborn and obstinate people. Well, I'm stubborn. And I'm obstinate, and he loves me.
Right.
So.
We're thankful he loves us because of who he is, not because of who we are.
Not because of who we are.
Well, and one of the last things that we do in discipleship is talk about the doctrines of Scripture, and we actually talk about it all the way through, but really solidify that as we're finishing up. But it's that doctrine that helps to solidify in our heart when we're seeing something in scripture and it doesn't sound like God is being kind. What does that cause you to do?
Well, it causes you to go, okay, well, I'm perceiving this wrong, because clearly God is love, and in every aspect he's doing it for our good. And you know, that's the wonderful thing, that we can just trust in the character and nature of who he is and who his son is. And he goes, you know, I'm not willing any should perish. And I think the biggest mistake that I made is I tried, especially with me being such a logical thinker, is trying to put God in a box and say, okay, well, if I can just define him in this box, then, you know, I can understand him. And God wouldn't be God if we could fully understand him. Now, he's made himself known to us, and he didn't have to, but, I'm thankful he did. But it's that it's getting my perception in line with his, and that can only be done through the Spirit. So,
great. One last question. When you first started, were you entering discipleship with a thought in mind of wanting to be in formal ministry or just wanting to grow closer to the Lord?
I wanted to be, and I still want to be, in formal ministry, but it has to be God's timing, and there needs to be that willingness that, I kind of often think, especially since we're going through Genesis here in this first service, Abraham was how old? 80 years old. So I don't know how long that's going to take, but God's timing is perfect regardless. And, the point is it doesn't matter. And this is one of the things that, I've learned recently. It doesn't matter where or what you're doing. It matters how you're doing it and who you're doing it for. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful, especially in Luke, that one of the things my dad's pointing out is you have these women who are with the world, in a sense, because of what they've done, would say they're insignificant, but they're the most remembered. And you would think, okay, well, I have to do some grand and glorious thing, and God may choose you to do that. I'm not saying that's not the case. But he set each of us aside for a specific purpose, and if you'll just be obedient to him, then you'll claim that same reward, if not more. And so it's really that heart of just saying, you know what, Lord, use me as you will. And if you'll do that, then, you'll be happier than ever. And, of course, one of the things that, my dad says, quoting somebody, I'm not sure who, is, I think it was Grandpa, you'll trip over happiness on the road to obedience. And really, it is true that, when you just put yourself, in the love of Christ and you just trust him with everything, not saying I always do that. I want to say that I can, but I don't. Like you said, we all fail in many ways. But his graciousness, and I think the thing to remember is that though we are not perfect, the strive, like Paul says, I strive to that mark of the high calling. And righteousness isn't how you do things. Our righteousness are but filthy rags, but it's we get back up. It's that sense of, I want to please the Lord. I don't want to give up. And that's, obviously the thing the Spirit gives you. And, through that, just grateful for him and, his loving kindness. So mercies are new every morning.
Well, good. Well, I appreciate you coming up and sharing with us. And we look forward to what the Lord does from here on out. And so it's exciting just kind of waking up each and every day saying, Lord, I'm not sure what you've got for me today, but I know you're with me, and may I just honor and glorify you in it.
So yes, sir.
Appreciate you coming up, buddy. I think it's neat to recognize that it just in desiring to know the Lord better, we may go into discipleship with one thought in mind, this is what's going to come out of it. And, God just gets up one morning and goes, I think I'd like for you to go this direction. And then you have that choice to make at that point of what you're doing. But, I would just encourage any of you who are thinking about, just trying to get closer to the Lord, develop that relationship with him, to get in touch with one of us, and let's just sit down and start on the journey together. So, Father, we just come before you, Lord, and we thank you for your loving kindness to us. We thank you for the way that you have made yourself known, Lord, that you have put it on certain hearts to teach your word. Lord, may we always teach in truth. May we teach it in love. Lord, may we serve to glorify you, to honor you in everything that we do and say. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.